Okay, first of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the organizers for their invitation. And so far, I have enjoyed this conference a lot. And today, I'm going to talk about a recent paper with my collaborators on variable selection for linear transformation models. So instead of targeting on very big topic, and you will find this work is more focused on a particular class of models, but it has very important applications for the survival data analysis. Okay, and I will start with some brief background and motivation. So I'll first give a review on semi-parametric survival models, which I think many of you in this room actually are experts as long as you are dealing with survival analysis. And then I will talk about the variable selection methods for censored survival data and give us motivation why we want to look at this variable selection for linear transformation models. What are the main challenges here, and how actually we handle this. And after that, I will just introduce our new method, which is called the PPS squared. It's like a penalized profiled score squared method. And I will show some numerical results for the performance of the method and compare it with other existing approaches. And in the end, I will just give a discussion. And so this is a very basic review for censored data when your observations actually consist of three parts. So here we assume T is the failure time or the time to event, for example, death or relapse of a disease or cancer remission. And say the censoring time, we have Z, which is covariates or predictors. And in practice, we don't really observe T due to the nature of data censoring. So instead, we observe the minimum of T and C and the censor indicator. Okay. And so here I give you an example for the standard survival data involving high dimensional covariates. And so in this particular lymphoma data set, we have 240 patients which actually suffer from the diffuse large B cell lymphoma disease. And for each patient, we collect over 7,400 genes. And the patient survival time we recorded, and in this case, 138 patients died during the follow-up. Okay. And so there are actually many popular semi-parametric survival models to deal with this multivariate analysis for censored data. So the most popular one is the Cox proportional hazard model. And when you actually assume this hazard is a product of a baseline function with exponential of covariate effect. And in some situations, we know that Cox model makes some strong assumptions about the data. So there are some alternative models used in practice. For example, here are actually we have two examples. One is proportional odds model, and which actually have better performance than the TH models, especially when you have tight data or the hazard assumption is violated. And recently, there is actually a class of very flexible model proposed in the survival context, which is called linear transformation models, and which assume some monotone transformation of the time variable has some linear regression model structure. And here we actually have the non-parametric component H0, which actually is unspecified monotone function we have to estimate. And also the beta0 is a parametric effect. And the epsilon has a known continuous distribution and independent of Z. Okay. And later on, I will say a few more words about why the linear transformation provide a alternative class of tools for the survival data. And so what is really the goal for variable selection for sensitive data? So it's very similar to regression problems. We want to identify the set of important covariates. And at the same time, we actually want to provide a good estimate of this parametric effect. So here the beta zero is actually our primary interest. And the monotone transformation H is treated as like a nuisance function. We're not interested in making inference for the H. Okay. And again, you know, ideally, if you have some procedure for variable selection, and it's desirable to show some oracle properties for these betas, and also like the consistency in selection. Okay. And so existing variable selection method for sensitive data, this is a long time topic, and people have done a lot of work, okay, for variable selection. So essentially the main challenge in sensitive data is you have to deal with the censoring scheme carefully to get the proper estimates. The classical method includes some best subset selection, asymptotic testing procedures, bootstrap sampling procedures, and recently there is also class of Bayesian variable selection, and more recently shrinkage methods, okay, for like lasso, SCAD, and adaptive lasso, and so on. Okay, so here I want to give a little bit of review about this variable selection for Cox model. Okay, when you have a very convenient loss function available, which is partial likelihood. So ideally, you know, we just do penalize the partial likelihood. And for the penalty, you have plenty of choices for penalty functions. Okay, and in actually our 2007 paper, we just did the adaptive lasso for this Cox model and established this nice oracle properties, and everything actually follows really well, okay? And the results are very comparable to the simple linear regression context. But for some other semi-parametric models, you know, we are not so lucky. And for example, for this proportional odds model, we don't have a partial likelihood available, okay? And so what we can do is for this case, and in 2007, another paper of us, we considered the marginal likelihood. And the difficulty with this marginal likelihood is it doesn't have a closed form, okay? And fortunately, you can still use some numerical techniques, like important sampling techniques, to actually calculate this marginal likelihood iteratively. So there's no closed form, but still there is some hope of calculating the marginal likelihood using numerical techniques. So we have this penalized marginal likelihood, okay, which can be used as a loss function, and then we can adopt the shrinkage penalties to do the variable selection. And so how about linear transformation models? What is unique here? Okay, and so linear transformations, first of all, LT models actually is very general. Okay, it contains a large number of popular models as special cases. So, for example, when this epsilon have extreme value distribution, we end up with a proportional odds hazard model. When epsilon has a logistic distribution, LT reduces to proportional odds model. And if epsilon follows the standard normal distribution, if you don't have a censoring, then you can see this actually is generalized box-Cox transformation models. So that's actually a beauty of this linear transformation models. It's like very broad, and it contains many models as special cases. And so if you can have a procedure for variable selection for this, you can get a unified procedure for many models. Question? Oh yeah, H0 here is like a monotone increasing function. Yeah. Yeah, you can put either minus beta or plus beta. It's not really critical here. So here we assume H is the monotone increasing function. Yeah. Thanks. And okay, so in addition to flexibility, okay, like also this LT models relax the independence assumptions between the covariates and the censoring variables, okay, which is critical for the validity of the PH models, because when you use a custom error estimate, you really need that assumption. That can be a very strong assumption. Also, if you really, if a true model is a partial likelihood, and the LT models actually reduce to PH models. So that's good. So what are the main challenges here? It turns out the variable selection for LT models is less studied in literature, okay? And the main challenge is actually most estimation procedure for these models are based on estimation equations, okay? Either inverse probability weighted procedures and all other something, other some techniques proposed in Chen and a sequence of paper. They are all estimation-based procedures. And so, challenge one is we don't have a convenient loss function available, okay? So if I want to do some shrinkage penalty, I don't know what to really, I mean, what loss I should use here. And secondly, there is a non-parametric component H involved. So that actually can make things a little bit complicated. It can treat it as like an infinite dimensional parameters hidden in this procedure. So our proposal in this actually work is, okay, you don't have a loss function, can we just construct a sensible loss function first, then we can do something. Hopefully this loss function is reasonable, so you can get a good estimate with theoretical good properties. Okay. So in order to proceed, I first give you a review of about what are estimation equations, okay, for this LT models. So these are actually very standard techniques to use in the Martingale theory to get the estimates for LT models. So here we have a counting process and at-risk process. Then you can use those to define a Martingale process. And so in 2002, Chen's paper, and they actually proposed this set of Martingale-based estimation equations. Okay, so here equation one actually is like just based on the Martingale process, equation two also. And so you can see here, like the estimation of these equations is very complicated, and you need to solve a nonlinear estimation system. And also, when you deal with this both set of equations, we are doing joint estimation for parametric and non-parametric terms. So how do we solve it? Okay, it turns out there is some like a clever trick to solve this like estimation equations iteratively. And so what actually being proposed is assume we have like a k failure times from T1 to TK, and so I'm going to solve this iteratively. So I will start with some initial estimator for beta, and to compute H function, which is transformation, I only need to evaluate its value at all these K jump points, okay? So what I do is sequentially solve, I mean, evaluate the function of value, the value of H at T1 up to TK. So what we do is first we solve the first equation at time t1, okay, then we will get this actually is like, because H is a monotone transformation, so there is a unique value for this equation. And after that, and we are going to solve the value of H at t2 and t3 and so on. So here we actually solve sequentially k-1 equations to get H function. So after we get H function, so essentially this whole process is to solve the equation system one here. Okay. After we get the updated H, we plug in our H values to the second equation to solve beta. And then we call that estimator beta 1 hat. And then we go back to step one to solve H and beta. We update them sequentially until some convergence criterion are met. Okay. And so given, okay, so here I'm, yeah. So notice that for this equation, for this equation one, okay, if I fix beta, okay, I mean I can also solve these equations by using some profiled techniques. So the idea is I can fix arbitrary beta in equation one, then only solve h, okay, from it, and we call that solution h tilde of beta, which is a function of beta. Then I can plug in this h tilde into equation two, and that will lead we call it profiled score function. That will lead a score only involves the beta. Okay, that's kind of profile. So we just profile h out, and then we call it profiled score function of a beta, and which is complicated, I mean very nonlinear function of beta. And so the solution beta tilde actually just is score, is the root for this score equation, the profiled score equation. Okay. It turns out there are some nice asymptotic properties of this profiled score and its solution. Okay. And in 2002, they actually showed that this score, okay, has this like converged to this normal distribution with a certain linear covariance, with certain variance function. And also the beta tilde has this asymptotic normality and everything is nice. And be careful here, this limiting covariance matrix of a beta tilde actually has a sandwich form, so it's not the most efficient one. And after all, this solution is not likelihood based, so we have some normality, but not the most efficient one. Okay. And the sigma actually can be estimated by using plugging techniques. And this profiled score actually give us a motivation for constructing a loss function for variable selection. Okay. And so we define, as I mentioned, we need to define a loss function. Hopefully this loss function has a very nice and pleasant form. So what we have here is we construct a weighted quadratic loss function. So you can see naturally it's just the profiled score multiply is inverse of the limiting covariance and multiply profiled score. So by its appearance, it reminds us the score test statistic. Okay? And then we just use this as our loss function, and then you can impose any like a penalty you like to the variable selection. Okay. So we call the minimizer of this object function as a penalized profiled score squared estimate. Okay. And so how to compute it? And as I mentioned, the equation system is very like nonlinear, and the profiled score is even more so. And now we actually have this quadratic form. And so how do we really solve this penalization function? So we just use this Taylor expansion for this profiled score around the initial estimator. Then essentially you get a linear approximation for this profiled score. Then you plug into quadratic function, you will get a quadratic loss function, so which is nice there. And so you can see it's a quadratic function, and then we can actually iteratively minimize this equation 5 and to get a solution. So here the B actually has this like a complicated form. So this is just a computation axiom. And first we can solve the original estimation equation, get the beta tilde and h of h tilde, and which will be used to construct our weight. So here we use like the weighted lasso penalty, so we need a weight. Then we can just specify initial estimator beta 0, and then solve equation 1 to obtain the h tilde of the beta 0. Then we can minimize this our shrinkage loss function to get estimator. You just continue until convergence. Okay. And this is the complete axiom. It turns out the full iteration of this computational axiom takes a lot more time, take a lot of time. So we thought, okay, maybe we can do some simplification here for computation. So what if I just do one step, okay, estimation instead of four iterations. But in order to get a solution for a good solution for one step estimation, we need a good initial estimator. So naturally, we can use our original estimation equation solution as our initial estimator. It turns out if we use that as the initial estimator, the objective function is greatly reduced, okay? Then we actually have this kind of weighted least squares for our beta tilde, and actually the reason like the form is so simple is if you use the initial estimator beta tilde, then we know it satisfies the it's the root of the profile the score equation. So this term B, okay, in the bottom of this slide vanishes. If you use a good initial estimator, then that will actually bring a lot of like a simplification for the objective loss function. So in some sense, this equation 6 with one step estimator actually can be regarded as like a generalization of least square approximation technique. Okay. And the nice thing about this equation 6 is we have a solution path and can get the everything for the tuning procedure. Okay. And so the theoretical property of this PPS squared estimator is actually, it's like usual. It turns out the loss function is really sensible. We have good inconsistency, sparsity, and normality. And we don't have oracle procedure here because we didn't start with, you know, as I mentioned, a likelihood-based approach. And so our limiting variance for this non-zero component has that form. Okay. But you may wonder, so now after all, you do variable selection, you reduce the size of models, you do have some efficiency gain compared to the original estimation equation solution. And it turns out, yes, okay, and we can show that this limiting variance for this shrinkage estimator is smaller than that for the original estimation equation-based estimator. And I want to point out this efficiency gain is due to the choice of we put the inverse of the covariance matrix for the profile score there. Okay. And in theory, you can put any other working covariance matrix there, and you still can get consistent selection, but you may not end up with efficiency gain for the estimator. And okay, so for the tuning, we just use the BIC procedure, like a generalized BIC definition to select a lambda. Okay. And so one thing for the inference, we also are interested in estimating the variance of the estimators. And so here we, in the paper, we propose two approaches for that. One is based on the asymptotic theory, since we can derive the exact expression for the covariance, we can use that one, or we can actually derive a sandwich variance formula by using a linear local quadratic approximation, okay, for the penalty function. Then you can still derive another estimator for variance. Symptotically, these two types of estimators are actually the same, but in finite samples, they have different performance. Okay, and so, okay, good. I think I'm good. So next, I'm just going to show two simulation studies and then a couple of examples. So as I mentioned, the LT models include the pH model, PO model as special cases. So natural comparison is if the true model is a proportional hazard model, and instead you fit LT transformation models and get the S and do the variable selection, how are the results compared with adaptive black hole for Cox model? Okay. And we know asymptotically, actually we showed in our earlier 2007 paper, if your true model is Cox model and you do the partial likelihood based shrinkage, that's oracle. Okay. So in principle, we don't really expect the procedure actually can beat the Oracle, Cox model, you know, asymptotically. Okay. But in finite sample situations, as we observe, like in some situations, this estimation actually can be actually better than Cox model in some situations. Okay. And so we just have this nine covariates with some certain correlation. We consider two types of censoring rates, 25%, 40%, and sample size 100, 200. And for our pH model, we compare the PPI squared with PPT models. Okay. For the PO models, we compare with our penalized marginal likelihood and for the personal odds models. Okay. And so this is a comparison with pH models. Okay. And as you can see, the PPI squared, the in terms of mean MSE is much better than the original estimation equation-based approach, okay, because it reduces the model size. And when sample size is 100, actually we observe the better performance of the PPI squared over the partial likelihood-based procedure. Okay. This is a finite sample result. I mean, that close, but looks like numerically it's slightly better than PPL, which is a little bit surprising because we do expect PPL is like unbeatable with the Oracle. But when sample size is equal to increase to 200, that performance are very similar. Okay, they're both much better than the original estimation equation method, and very similar. And for the for the PO models, okay, we observe that the PPI squared method is best, is much better than both the original estimation equation and the penalized marginal likelihood. Okay, so like there's a really obvious efficiency gain for the procedure, and also model selection is very good. And for variance estimator, as I mentioned, we have two approaches to estimating the variance. It turns out they are okay, but for pH models, the both procedure do an okay job for estimating variance. But for PO model, they're a little bit underestimating. I think that's actually an open question for the shrinkage estimator, how you really do the inference by estimating the variance of the shrinkage estimator. Okay, because obviously here, for example, for the tuning, the variation due to tuning lambda, which is not taking into account here when you use the sandwich formula or use the symptotic theory. So in my experience, no matter what you do, I mean, you always tend to a little bit underestimate. And I should say, if you use this technique, but if you use like a bootstrap sampling based technique, it's possible to get a better estimator than this method. And due to time constraint, I just show my examples quickly. So we analyze three data sets, PBC data, classical data. And this is a comparison with the proportional likelihood, penalized partial likelihood. You can see in this case, our procedure matches the pH model in terms of variables. They identify same set of variables, but with the estimates a little bit different. And this is the solution path for the PPC data. And also we apply this to the lung cancer data and compared with the marginal likelihood approach. Again, the variable selection performance, they match each other. And in the end, is the microarray data analysis when you have 7,400 genes here. So in this case, since like our procedure, I mean, due to this preliminary like weights we need, and we cannot really handle this high dimensional data directly. So what we did is we just follow the, you know, the conventional techniques to do the screening first, and you reduce the genes by using the univariate Cox score, and then do variable selection based on the screened genes. And so here we actually, our procedure actually select 20 genes, and the partial likelihood select 13 genes, and they share 9 genes. Again, for this real data, you know, we need really biological experiments to validate the result. Okay. I think I can stop here. So hopefully, yeah, I mean, the take-home message here is, at least you know, even for the estimation equation-based approaches, you can still do the variable selection reasonably well. And the profile score, you know, that takes care of the non-parametric components naturally. And also, we show that there is improvement in the efficiency due to the variable selection. And although this whole work so far is based on the linear transformation models, actually the whole idea can be extended to the general version of estimation equation. For any actually estimation equation where you don't have loss function, and actually you can construct the loss function using the score and do the variable selection. Okay, that's actually the ongoing work. Okay. Thanks.